I do thank the Lord that He is so gracious to give us warnings and instructions such as this. And the thought came to me sitting there is that God is real. We don't see Him. We don't hear Him audibly. But He is real. He is a spiritual being. And by faith, we know that God is real. And the same token, we know the devil is real. I don't know of anyone that's actually seen the devil. There could have been some people that had an imagination of it. But he is real. And he has only ill will. God has only goodwill for each one of us. Thank the Lord. So, this afternoon we would like to, I know that it sounded like I was going to start giving you some tools to work with, but I'm not yet. I want us to be fully aware of the tools of the enemy. That is the purpose. I mean, we have a purpose that we can have tools to work with. But it is vitally important that we are not ignorant of his devices. And I think personally that many times the enemy is taking advantage of us and we're not fully aware of it. I think that we are so aware of our lives and our work and our needs and our responsibilities. I think that the enemy is so sly and cunning that he can affect us even when we are doing legitimate things. It's a legitimate thing for a woman to be a homemaker, a housekeeper, a mother, a father, I mean a wife. Legitimate. And it takes energy, it takes time, it takes effort to fill all of those places. The same with a man. A man is called to be the head of a family and to bear the responsibility to go out and face the hard places of our society. That the Lord knew his plan was a good plan when he said for us to be keepers at home and us to provide for and for the man to go out and bear the coldness and the evil things of the world. He has something for each man that they can wear blinders. I believe the Lord even has that in his word. And we all need blinders, but especially our men. And God is calling for our men to be strong. He's calling for all of us to be strong. He's saying for all of us, quit you like men, be strong. And that doesn't matter our gender. He is, and he has it for us. But in the busyness of our life, our minds are sometimes consumed with projects or responsibilities, and there's nothing wrong with that. But be aware, the devil knows you may be a little bit slack with just normal routine of life. I think that the Lord is calling for us to be fully awake and aware of the day we're living in and the time we're living in. If the scripture says that the devil has come down in wrath, believe it. He is in full wrath against all people, but especially the people of God, because he wants you to fail. And it says he knows he has but a short time. I'm thinking right now, before we enter this, of Pilgrim's Progress. And when Christian and Hopeful were in the way, and the way was very rough, and they looked over the wall, and they saw that the way was green and smooth. And they thought they perceived that the way beside the wall just went right along beside it, and that after they got past the rough part, they would get back over. And we know that wasn't the case. The green way, or the smooth way, led them away, and ultimately led them to Doubting Castle, where they were imprisoned and beat, and Giant Despair did not want to be the reason that they died. He wanted them to take their own life, because it was a sure thing that they would not make heaven. So he put the weapons, the poison, the dagger, and was there one other one?
A noose.
What?
A noose.
Oh, yeah, a noose. Okay, he put three things, and he told them, if you don't take your life, then I'm going to do this, this, and this when I come back. Christian was sorely tempted. I think the Lord is wanting us to be aware of this also, because the devil wants you to kill yourself.
Sure.
Take your life. Oh, that's a terrible thing to say. Suicide is on the increase in our whole land. Did you know that you could be tempted to take your own life? A saint? We could. I've been there. And I understand. I know, and God knows. I was saved. And I know how I was going to do it. That it didn't look like suicide. But God would have known. I would have been lost had I carried out that temptation. The devil knows that if you or I take our own life, where we will be. And that's why the temptation is there. And I'm so thankful that John Bunyan put that in there, because it is such a story of hope. Yes, there was a temptation, but he didn't give in to it. And what happened? He reached in his pocket. And he pulled out a key, a promise that he had forgotten about. And it was rusty. And it was small. But he stuck it in the lock, and it grew to fit the lock. And by faith, he opened that cell door, and they escaped. And that is what our captain has for us. Remember, if it crosses your mind, and I want to tell you, I have talked to other people down through the years. Young people have been tempted to take their lives. Remember, that is the devil.
Amen.
That is your arch enemy that hates you with a passion. And people think, I am escaping from... they'll call it this. I'm escaping from this hell on earth. Who has lied to them? There is not such a thing as hell on earth compared to the hell they would be ending up in. So it's the liar. So remember where it's coming from. If there's a temptation. Okay. We ended with the scripture in Revelations 12 and 12. It said, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil is come down to you, unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time." The devil has more tactics than we could ever expose or even know, because he has custom plans. He has a plan just for you and just for me. And he has certain tools and that he can ensnare a lot of people. And we're familiar with those. And Dan and I was just talking you know, there was a time that we heard so many messages and they'd cry out against cigarettes and alcohol and drunkards and drugs. And those are still part of the message. I'm not diminishing that at all. But for the people of God, he's not tempting them so much with it, going out and smoking or sinning some other way. He's already ensnared a lot of other people, but for us, that's a useless temptation. I'm thinking about what Brother Jim Wall said last Sunday night. He asked a question about, do you see very many of the saints or the young people going to the Catholic Church? And everybody had to say no. But have you seen the young people or the younger generation being drawn into sectism? And we can say yes. So you see, there's certain things that the enemy uses at certain ages of time, and it worked then, but it doesn't work now. And it's the same with the tools and the tactics and his, the scripture calls it the wiles of the devil, the sly, slippery, unexpected things that he can just spring it on us. And sometimes we're just not fully ready. But I believe the Lord is calling for us to start praying for ourselves and for one another, that we be awake and alert and sensitive and not ignorant. We don't have to be ignorant of these things. So I have down here that he knows what he can draw us with. He has a custom plan. He has a plan for you that wouldn't work for the person sitting next to you, but it may be your downfall, and the devil knows it. You know, we probably, everyone that are here today, we would say, yes, I know I have a weakness. And we might even say, and God knows my weaknesses, and he does. But he's working to strengthen our weak places. But rest assured that the devil knows your weak place also. He's fully aware of it. So here's how I have this to present in his custom plan. I believe, or I wonder if... if he might not have a personal file with your name on it. You know, we all have our offices, We have our file cabinets, and we have names on each one of those files. We know exactly what's in that file. Periodically, we pull it out and we examine that file, don't we? Do you all do that? And refresh your mind as to what you have in that file. You think the devil doesn't keep a file on you or me? With my name on it, your name is on it. And I wonder if he doesn't pull out your file every once in a while and examine and think about the strategies that he's tried to use. And he might look at that and he might say, well, that strategy didn't work at all. I'm not going to waste my time on that one. But what about this one? Other methods. And he might look at the report and he might say, well, when I tried that, there was a stumble. And they failed. Even if they got back, that one is a good strategy. That's what the devil will say if he looks in our file and he sees where we have succumbed to some of the wiles of the devil. I have down here, since he knows our weaknesses, he may have made a note in my file that would say something like this. Subject may be prone to discouragement, especially when weary. Now, see, that's not smoking. He's not even going to pull that strategy. But he's observed how I have responded from time to time when I have overworked myself. I'm tired. You know, we need to consider also how Jesus was tempted. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. Did the devil tempt him in that way?
Yes.
He did. It was a weakness at the moment. And so if the devil sees that I could be prone to discouragement when I'm exhausted and tired and hungry and weary and worn, and we're all going to be there. You're not going to live life that you haven't been tired. But in this file, it says, it would say something like, well, this worked before, and it seems a promising method of attack. See, you and I need to be alert and not ignorant of the works of the devil. But you got to pay attention to yourself. There's a potential for the enemy to take advantage of you when you're physically worn out and tired and hungry. And so I said it like this: what is the plan of action? The devil would be saying, make sure he is very busy and physically tired, that Bible reading and prayer are affected. Isn't that where we're generally affected first? We're not going to give in to discouragement just right away. Are you? You're going to start cooling down. It's going to affect how much time you spend reading and praying. And then the enemy will slip in something to discourage you. And here you are. You're in a battle now. Where are the battles? Where's the battlefield? It's in the mind. We're not out here battling flesh and blood. But we're fighting against something that's called principalities and powers and darkness and things that are... If I said, I'm fighting darkness right now, would you see the darkness or would I see the darkness? And where would I see it? In my mind, in my spirit. I would feel it in my emotions. We are emotional beings, and these battles are going to affect those parts of my humanity, my mind, my spirit, and my emotions. That's what's going to happen. And so, discouragement, oh, he has some really highly used tools against people. But discouragement can be a killer. What is the opposite of discouragement? Encouragement. Our captain wants us to be encouraged, to be strengthened in the power of his might, to not allow the enemy to plague our minds. It's a plaguing of our minds when he attacks us, and it affects us. It affects us in every way. I'm just going to still talk about a personal file. Another one that might say, easily offended, easy to be hurt, easy to feel bitter. That might be what's written in the file. The weakness. Now, Sister Rosa, she's already confessed that that's been some of her weakness. Some of the rest of us could too. It's very easy for us to be affected by offenses. And the scripture has also made us to know that, because it said it's impossible but that offenses will come. We should expect it. And how we respond to it is how the devil is looking at us. If he sees that we get under that thing and we become downcast and discouraged and we begin to entertain the thoughts of bitterness and unforgiveness, oh, he's going to pounce on that. So what's the plan of action? His plan is to make sure there are times that you will have wounds and hurts with bitter tears and a temptation to hold a grudge. That's what his plan of action will be. And you're nursing the hurt and forgetting that it can go deeper than you want it to. You got to be awake and aware and not ignorant of his devices, and recognize where it's coming from and believe the devil is real and he knows my weakness. Do one more. Oh, I could do many. This one could be in a file, possibly read like this: a tendency to jealousy, a weakness to self-pity. Takes notes or note when others receive compliments. Anybody ever be affected by that? Anybody? Am I the only one? No, it's common to humanity. And so, guard. I remember, and I've told it, but I'm going to insert it here. A number of years ago, cold, dreary, rainy day, had all-day meeting, had a handful of people in service that day. And I went home. I was discouraged. I go to my bedroom, I don't even turn on the light. I'm sitting in the dark. Don't sit in the dark. Darkness is of the devil, especially if you're discouraged. So I'm sitting there and I'm feeling sorry for myself, and I'm and I get a phone call. And this person was in another congregation of the saints, and a glowing report. Oh, we had a house full this morning. We had people that came in off of the street even, and they went to the altar. And I mean, it was so opposite of what we had had in our services, and I'm sitting here just feeling lower than low, and I get off the phone, and you know, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "You're jealous." And as soon as he said it, I knew it was true. But at the same time, the devil jumped on me, and he took me lower than low, and he said, see, the Lord delivered me from depression in 1980. The devil said, "You're going to be depressed now for the rest of your life." And I'm sitting there and I'm just weeping. And I crawl and get up in the bed. I'm just, you know, like in a little fetus. You're just drawn within yourself. And then the devil said, "And you can't tell anyone because you're a preacher." And I believed it for a little bit. And then there was this thought that came in the back of my mind. Where'd this thought come from? From my captain.
Praise the Lord.
And he said, "You have to tell it." And so I called Lauren in and I said, "I've got to talk to you." Literally, I opened my mouth and no words would come out. I was so quickly bound by this spirit of jealousy. And he thought he had done something, you know, and it wasn't him. Finally, I said, "I'm jealous." I confessed it. I didn't even have to tell him everything. That was enough. And we went into the sofa and got down, and we prayed against the spirit of jealousy. And from that day to this, I guard jealousy. Guard that weak place, because the devil wants to take advantage of it. And he will if you land him. So jealousy is, what does the scripture say about jealousy? It's cruel. It can affect others, but who does it affect the most? Me. It affects me if I'm the one that's jealous. So that my file could say tendency to jealous, and I could be having self-pity and taking note when others are getting the compliments, and guard it. Be careful. The devil, knows how to promote this weakness to his advantage. I had written a little something down while I was over there in my seat. I think I mentioned this morning, but I'm going to mention it again because it is so important. Did I say anything about isolation? Did you know that's a tool of the enemy to make you feel isolated? Now, I'm going to give you another side of that coin, because God does sometimes call us to be alone. He calls us to a place where he and he alone is our help. The tendency of our humanity is to lean on people. That's not 100% wrong, but it's a danger. The I remember a number of years ago, and I've testified to it. I may not have told all of this. I may have. But the Lord took me through about a 3-year testing, trying my very soul. And I submitted to it. He said it to me. And I willingly submitted to it. And when the testing and the trying started, I knew it started. And I thought, oh, I can bear this. But it got worse. And it got worse. And it got worse. It totally lasted approximately 3 years. And during this one specific year of time, I was so low, and I needed encouragement from somebody else so bad. And nobody called me. Nobody. There had been other ministers that had passed through some hard places and got real low themselves, and I had been one of those that had tried to call and encourage. And I even said it when this was happening to me. I said, well, I called Brother so-and-so when he was down, and nobody is calling me. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I told them not to. He said, I wanted you to get this from me and from me alone. And I was able to commit that thing. And not, the enemy could not take advantage of that any longer. I knew the answer. My captain is saying, I told them not to call you. So God will do this sometimes. So don't lay it all on the devil if you find yourself in a lonely place sometime. But if you find yourself in a lonely place and you feel so isolated that you can't think of one person that you can confide in or talk to, or the devil can really do a number to isolate us. One time I experienced that the devil did that. I was going through a very difficult place. It was in my ministry, and I was withdrawing from others. I went to Monarch, had a camper. I would not walk down to the tabernacle on the main road. I walked down among the houses so I didn't have to speak to people. I would go to the service and I would walk back, get in my camper, and stay in there till the next service. Then one day, my Aunt Margaret saw me. Well, Maxine, how long have you been here? And I'd been there all week. She said, this is not like you. And it wasn't. I've liked people. I've wanted to talk to people and everything. But the devil had me in an isolated place that no one could help me. And you know, I still remember how the Lord delivered me. I went to my camper, I got down on my knees, and I said, Lord, I said, give me a chalkboard. I thought if I could see this hurt and all written down on this chalkboard, and we could just go up there and wipe it off, then it'd be all over. And that's what I was praying for. And the Lord spoke to me, and he says, no, I give you a door. We're going to put those things behind the door, and you don't open it. And the Lord broke the power of it. Listen, God can help us in any way that Satan tries to bring anything on us. And I don't know how many of... I needed Teresa's testimony Wednesday night because I had forgot about that message I preached in Prattsville. That scripture said, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And here lately, I've been in that place thinking I'm the only one in this place. And when she read that, it was like the Lord said, some of your brethren have the same battle. Just remember that. If the enemy tries to isolate you from the body, there's others that have experienced that battle also. So that's one of the things that the enemy likes to do to discourage us. And I don't know, there's just much more than what we could give here tonight, today. He has so many, and the scripture speaks about it, traps, snares. He has so many distractions. We have so many avenues of entertainment, more than ever before, and some of it doesn't seem like it's sinful, but it does something to us. And the devil takes advantage of it. Some way it's a pleasure that feeds our flesh. I don't understand all of it, but I know it's very real. And I have to watch it. And you better watch it too. So let's not be ignorant of his devices. So the closing part, this is going to be the part of our weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but are mighty. And we know that God has weapons for us to use that are is it non-conventional or unconventional? I don't know which word is proper. Non? Well, the things that he gives us to work with are not your normal weapons, but they work. And the scripture says they'll pull down a stronghold. And the devil loves to build strongholds in our life. And he loves for us to have it in the back of our mind. I am never going to gain the victory completely. I'm going to battle this for the rest of my life. Anybody ever experienced that?
Amen.
But there's a weapon that is mighty, that can be used through God, that will pull down that stronghold. It doesn't matter the name that is on that stronghold. It may not be the same thing that I would battle, but whatever you might battle, it has a name. The devil knows the name of it, and he knows how to affect you. Remember, he has a custom plan. Oh, we've already talked about the battle of the mind, but this is the scripture that I put down. It's an admonition to us all. Gird up the loins of your mind. You know, Dan has said different times about waking up in the night and the mind starts working. Anybody else have that problem? What do you do with it? Well, you know, we try to overcome it in our own way. I mean, I have prayed, you know, and things like that, but, and I'm not discounting prayer, but there's been times I would try to overcome it by just saying the word, nothing, 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 like I was reading it. And, you know, occasionally that will work, but not all the time. So that's not necessarily that weapon that will overcome and gird up the loins of my mind. This says, be sober. Now, what does it mean to be sober? When we think of people that are sober, we think that they're no longer drinking. Sister Rose has been testifying about her brother. Sober means a whole lot more than that. Her brother can be sober from drink and still need to be sober. It means to be calm, quiet, not overcome by emotions, sensible. Now, how can we use those definitions to apply to our spiritual battle? Number one, we can be sensible. Means I understand what's happening. I see where the battle is coming from. I see. I'm girding up the loins of my mind, and I'm going to be calm. Why would you think calmness would need to be a part of my weapons? What is the opposite of calmness? I would say panic. I have been in a panic when the enemy has attacked me before. That can be a natural physical response to an attack of the devil. And not overcome by emotions. We're governed by our emotions a lot of times. We're human. Oh, men might say, oh, we're not the emotional beings like you women. No, you might not be, but I believe that there is a type of emotion that a man has that a woman doesn't have. Amen. And vice versa. And it's still just as powerful on a man as what the emotion of a woman. They just react differently. That's the only difference. So this says, if I gird up the loins of my mind and I am sober, I'm calm, I'm not given in to my emotions, I'm sensible, and I hope to the end for the grace at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's part of that verse. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves to the former lusts in your ignorance. Now, we've talked about ignorance some. You know, we're not ignorant of his devices. Don't fall back into your ignorance. That's what that would mean. We could lose our sensibility and become ignorant again. And I'm not recognizing the snares and the traps of the enemy. I'm not, because I'm being affected emotionally, I'm not being totally sober and calm and quiet. But don't go back to your former ignorance. Okay? That's one of your weapons. Guard where you are that you're not going back to your former ignorance. We're not ignorant of his devices. Then the next scripture, and we're not going to go into details on it. We all understand it, but it is one of our weapons. It is a very important weapon. Put on the whole armor of God. We don't have to tell you what pieces it is because you already know. And you know what it guards. It guards your whole person. Whole spiritual person. Put on the whole armor of God. For what reason? That you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How plain can that be? You're dealing with Satan himself, and you're going out to face the world, and you're not armored. You're asking for a temptation then. The 13th verse there says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. It tells us again that ye may be able to withstand the evil day. The same thing. That's Ephesians 6 and 11 and 13. James 4 and 7. And I think does this the one of, okay. I'm going to give this one, but I'm going to go back to one I gave this morning. James 4 and 7 says, what is the first step that you and I do when we're fighting against the devil? Or should do? Submit yourself to God. And that's the first step in this verse. Submit yourselves to God. Then resist. Resist the devil. And the promise is he will flee from you. You can claim it. I'm going to talk a little bit more about resisting. But the other scripture that came to my mind also has to do with being sober. And I quoted it this morning about he presented himself as a roaring lion going about whom seeking whom he may devour. But the first part of that verse also says, be sober and be vigilant. Your adversary. Recognize you have an adversary and don't forget it. And so vigilant simply means keep careful watch for danger or difficulties. It's up to you and me to watch. Jesus said in various places, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So those are weapons that we use. Those are tools and weapons that we can use. But this word resist is far more important than you think. Now, I've been reading a book. I've had the book in my house for more years than I could count and never picked it up. How to Resist the Devil. I've been getting some good information out of that, and I fully recommend it. I'm sorry I didn't open it sooner. It's from the print shop. It was written, I know, according to what I read in there. It doesn't have a date or time. It was written before World War I. So this is an old book, and the author was from England. It is not well known over here in the United States, but let me tell you, he's had some experiences that will help us to get acquainted with some of his experiences that he's learned not only in his own life, but in the lives of others that he's worked with. So I'm going to encourage you, read this book, How to Resist the Devil. I hope you can find it. I hope it's still available. But he said in this book, and I never had thought of it before, but I certainly think of it now, that this is a commandment. You resist the devil is a commandment, the same as any other commandment that God gives that we count very precious and important. We must count this as very precious and important because it's one of the most effective. Why do I say that? I've been there. And I found that just even saying, I resist the devil, you think that's the only words you say in that? In the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, if you say, I resist the devil and nothing more, you're just speaking to the air. You've got to claim that name. It is a name above all names. And the devil cannot stand in that name. Thank the Lord. Remember, he's never lost a battle. So, we're commanded. Oh, this is another command. I didn't write down where the scripture were. We are commanded to not give place to the devil. Just given a place for the enemy to work in my life. We're commanded, don't do that. So to resist is to refuse to accept or comply with attack. Some of these are my definitions. To resist is a refusal to accept or comply with any tactic of the devil. To resist is not allowing the devil to have an adverse effect. It's also to withstand the force or the effect of Satan's attack. If you're going to be a soldier of the cross, you're going to have to know how to resist the enemy. And these are certain ways that they do. And people that are in the literal military, they learn how. And they do it sometimes at the peril of their lives. But I want to tell you, God will not let you die if you withstand the attacks of the devil. And resisting is to simply take a stand against the devil. You have to learn what all this means. Yes. It's not just empty words. It's words that you mean it when you say it. You mean it from the depth of your heart. And you're not going to budge. And I'm not going to give an inch. And I'm not in the name of Jesus. Yes. It's not in your strength. It's not in your power, your might. But when Jesus was tempted, what did he say to the devil? He said what? And he also told him to go. But that's the same thing. Get thee hence. And he meant it. And Satan had to obey it. If Jesus told us that he told the devil to go, we must use it also by faith and in the name of Jesus. Okay, I'm going to end now from one experience that I thought was very effective, and I want to tell you I have used it since I read it. This author of How to Resist the Devil. This is just one small account, but I thought it was extremely valuable. I'm going to be reading from that book, and it says, "It is not uncommon to be told by the devil that you are lost. And you may become so confused you half believe it." Has anyone ever faced that? I spoke with someone not long ago, and I tried to, and this is probably why I won't tell everything, but I tried to say how that when I was on my back in the hospital bed and couldn't get up, you know, the devil attacked me. And I questioned if I was even saved. And this person said, they've never questioned that. I said, well, down through my life I didn't, but I certainly did then. So there's going to be times that the enemy will attack you with the question, how do you know you're really saved? And right now you may say, well, I've never had that question before because I know I'm saved. Just live a little longer. You may meet it. So anyway, he says, you may become confused or half believe it. You try to recover yourself, but your thoughts have become like the chaff in the wind. And he had others, but I just took those sentences. So what do you do? He said, this is what I did. I remember taking hold of the book and holding it aloft and saying, I believe in the God of this book. Yes, amen. What powerful words. Amen. I've used it and it worked. I believe in the God of this book, and he has Hebrews 6 and 11, and all that this book means to me as a redeemed soul, I take it and stand on it, though I feel nothing. Amen. You may not feel anything. If you do this, you've got to do it by faith. And then it says, I refuse all of the devil's lies. That's resisting. I believe that this book, what this book says, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I am in Christ. Not because I deserve it or feel it, but because he took me in when I came. I do not remember the date, but I know I came and I am in. Several times this last week, I have taken and I've read it and held my Bible up and defeated the devil and resisted him. Get the book. That's our little message. Pray for me, but let us all pray for one another. We're in a war. We have a captain. He's able to deliver. He is able to deliver thee, oh, whatever your name. You don't have to say sinner. The Lord taught me that a number of years ago. And I put my name in there. He is able to deliver thee, O Maxine. And all of those verses of that song doesn't sound like it fits with a sinner. It seems like to me it has to be to a saint that's fighting. And he's able to deliver us. Pray for me.